And now for reading and writing and radio.
I wanted to have big legs to play football. Then I asked my mom if she could do anything about it. She said no, she couldn't. She said, you can't have everything you want.
The author of that story on wanting was Mike Camfield of Mrs. Bolero's 5th grade Oak Grove School, Decatur. But it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
You can't have everything you want. Today's program is on wanting. Wanting something so bad it hurts. And talking about this with me is Tim Veach from Chatham. Let's start with a little picture book, Tim, about wanting, called Mommy Buy Me a China Doll. It's adapted from an Ozark children's song by Harv Zemek, and it's got pictures by Margaret Zemek. Tim, do you want to be Eliza Lou, or do you want to be the mother?
Oh, well, it's not much of a choice. Tell you what, I'll be the mother then.
All right. Well, it starts with Eliza Lou seeing the peddler, just in the pictures, with on his pack a beautiful China doll, and she runs into her little Ozark log cabin, and she says, Mommy, buy me a China doll. Do, Mommy, do.
What could we buy it with, Eliza Lou?
We could trade our daddy's feather bed. Do, Mommy, do.
Trade our daddy's feather bed? Then where would our daddy sleep, Eliza Lou?
He could sleep in the horsey's bed. Do, Mommy, do.
Trade our daddy's feather bed, daddy in the horsey's bed. Then where would our horsey sleep, Eliza Lou?
He could sleep in our sister's bed for a day or two.
Trade our daddy's feather bed, daddy in the horsey's bed, horsey in our sister's bed. Then where would our sister sleep, Eliza Lou?
She could sleep in the baby's bed. Do, Mommy, do.
Trade our daddy's feather bed, daddy in the horsey's bed, horsey in our sister's bed, sister in the baby's bed. Then where would the baby sleep, Eliza Lou?
He could sleep in the kitten's bed. Do, Mommy, do.
Trade our daddy's feather bed, daddy in the horsey's bed, horsey in our sister's bed, sister in the baby's bed, baby in the kitten's bed. Then where would our kittens play, Eliza Lou?
They could play in the chicken coop. Do, Mommy, do.
Trade our daddy's feather bed. Daddy in the horsey's bed. Horsey in our sister's bed. Sister in the baby's bed. Baby in the kitten's bed. Kitten in the chicken coop. Then where would our kittens roost, Eliza Lou?
Our chickens roost, Eliza Lou. They could roost on Granny's rocking chair. Do, Mommy, do.
Oh, trade our daddy's feather bed. Daddy in the horsey's bed. Horsey in our sister's bed. Sister in the baby's bed. Baby in the kitten's bed. Kittens in the chicken coop, chickens on the rocking chair. Then where would Granny sit and sew, Eliza Lou?
She could sit and sew in the piggy pen just for a day or two.
Oh, trade our daddy's feather bed, daddy in the horsey's bed, horsey in our sister's bed, sister in the baby's bed, baby in the kitten's bed, kittens in the chicken coop, chickens on the rocking chair, Granny in the piggy pen. Then where would our piggies go, Eliza Lou?
We could let them stay in my own bed. Do, Mommy, do.
Trade our daddy's feather bed. Daddy in the horsey's bed. Horsey in our sister's bed. Sister in the baby's bed. Baby is in the chicken. Baby in the chicken's coop.
No, we got the baby bed. In the kitten's bed. Kittens baby in the chicken coop. Chickens on the rocking chair.
Granny in the piggy pen. Piggies on Eliza's bed. Then where would Eliza sleep, Eliza Lou?
She could sleep on our mommy's lap. Do, Mommy, do.
Oh, trade our daddy's feather bed. Daddy in the horsey's bed. Horsey in our sister's bed. Baby in the
sister in the baby's bed. Baby in the kitten's bed. Kittens in the chicken coop. Chickens on the rocking chair.
Granny in the piggy pen. Piggies in Eliza's bed. Eliza on her mommy's lap. Sleeping on her mommy's lap. Dreaming about a China doll. Sleep. Eliza Lou.
And so she doesn't get the China doll. That's a tongue twister.
Tim couldn't say any of it either.
And the pictures are really hilarious, yeah, with Granny in the piggy pen with all the little pigs around her, and Granny in the rocking chair with all the chickens sitting on her, and so forth. So I think that we often learn young that we can't have everything that we want. Tim, have you ever had any wanted anything so bad it hurt? Oh. And did you or didn't you get it?
Well, the thing I wanted so bad that it hurt, I got. So it's kind of a happy ending. But
well, tell us about it.
Well, when I got back from Michigan last summer, I came in the house and I was lounging around. I picked up one of the old papers and it had a picture of Elizabeth Montgomery on the front page and had an article about The Awakening Land and that they'd already had auditions and that the...
Now that's that TV movie,
yeah,
that was just filmed shown here in Springfield with, mm-hmm, Elizabeth Montgomery and Hal Holbrook.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what did you want with that?
Well, I wanted to be in it.
Oh!
Well, anyway, but I looked at it and they said, you know, they had already had auditions and that they didn't need any more people. But I decided if I want it bad enough, then it's worth trying to get. And so I called the people and after several weeks they called me back and arranged an audition and things like that. And so I finally did get on. And I don't know, from now I just can't think of anything I enjoyed more than that.
Than being in that movie.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm, I wanted it so badly.
And it was quite an experience, wasn't it,
yeah,
to be there with all the cameras and the movie,
yeah,
stars and,
yeah,
the
whole thing.
And they fixed up the park to look like a cabin,
yeah,
cabin in the wilderness.
It wasn't hard.
And what was it that they burnt for the smoke? It looked like smoke, but it was really...
It was insect repellent.
Insect repellent.
Yeah.
So those of you that saw that TV show, when the smoke was coming out of the chimney, that was insect repellent.
The bugs were so thick back there. Elizabeth, mm-hmm, Montgomery had bug bites and poison ivy and the thorns up and down.
Well, that makes it just all the more authentic.
I guess.
I think the thing that I remember wanting the most was to do something with a gift that had been given me. A kid in seventh grade, when I was in seventh grade, made a diving helmet out of an old oil can. And it had a window in the front, and it had a bike pump and hoses, and it had places cut out for the shoulders and rubber so that you would fit nicely over your shoulders. And then he made an improved diving helmet, and I said I would like that diving helmet, and he gave it to me, which astounded me.
Well,
and
nice.
Here I had a diving helmet, and I wanted to use it. And a good hot spring day came along, and I tried to persuade my father to let my older sister take the car and drive us up to Lake Delavan so that we could go into the lake and use the diving helmet. And he didn't have the car, and there were various reasons why we shouldn't. And I remember that I begged, and I pleaded, and I sulked, and I cried, and I made a thorough nuisance of myself until finally my dad got so sick of me that he rustled around and found us a farm truck, and we all set off in the farm truck with the diving helmet. And I remember when we got to Lake Delavan and put the thing on and went down into the water, that the water wasn't clear. It was so murky that even if you pulled your hand up in front of your helmet and looked through the glass, why, you could barely see it, and it was really a big disappointment. Later on, when we found some clear water, it was quite exciting.
Oh, okay.
But I remember feeling chagrined and somewhat embarrassed that I had been so hard on my father to try to get that ride up to Lake Delavan, and then the whole thing had been such a bust on that day. And since then, I've had kids beg me and plead and cry, and sometimes I give in and
sometimes
I don't.
Don't.
But I always remember about the diving helmet. I remember once I got something for Jill. We did. We were at one of these villages that has a special festival. It was in Ohio, and it was an apple butter festival in the fall, and it was, mm-hmm, fixed up sort of like New Salem Village with cabins and various things that people could go in and see the way people did things in the olden times, and they were fixing the apple butter in big tubs. And they had some little antique shops around the square in this village, and Jill, who was about 7 or 8 years old, went into one of these and saw an Indian canoe, a birch bark canoe,
she's
about a foot long.
Room.
Yes,
yeah.
She's got it in her room. Well, she fell in love with that canoe, and it was $5, and it was in bad shape, and that just seemed an outrageous price for a birch bark canoe that was hardly holding up. And she wouldn't do anything else. She wouldn't go out and see all the exciting things that there were to see and do the exciting things there were to do. She sat over that little canoe and dribbled her tears into it for at least the next hour and a half, until we finally decided that that much devotion to a little canoe ought to win it. And so we bought that little canoe, and Jill is 20 years old now, and she says she still loves that little canoe, and she wants to get it fixed up, and it's got a place of honor in her room. So that's one I'm glad that we got her. I asked two classes at Oak Grove School Decatur to write in on this topic ahead of time, and they've waited patiently since this program got bumped due to snow days, although I think on that particular day, Decatur was the only school in the area, school system, that was going. So let's have some of their stories now. Tim, here's a group from Mrs. Moutrie's sixth grade in Oak Grove, Decatur. Here's one by Jim Gentry.
It was a late September. I ran into my dad's room and told him I wanted a BB gun, and my dad said no, I couldn't have one. I was mad. So I said, what do I have to do for one? And he said, raise your grades in school. So I did, but not enough. Then it was coming to the end of the school year and only one more report card. I couldn't take the suspense anymore. So I hopped on my bike and rode off to Tolly's, where I bought some BBs for my gun I didn't have yet. Pretty ambitious, isn't he? Then came report card day. I got my report card, and I opened it, and I got all A's and B's. I was so glad.
So that means he got his BB gun. Here's one by Jody Payne. When my mom was pregnant with my brother, before he was born, I wanted a baby sister so bad that it hurt. I already have two older brothers that I love very much, but I just had to have a baby sister.
She could have my younger brothers.
The day my brother was born, I cried because it wasn't a girl. I still loved him, though he wasn't a girl. I still want a baby sister, and I'm 11 years old. Then 2 years ago, my aunt had a baby, and she was almost like my own sister. But now she's older and won't play with me. That's another thing I've been learning. A baby isn't a baby all the time. See, I think we have another one here on baby brothers. This is by Laura Clockinger. Well, I think you need to read that one, Tim.
Okay. Let's see. I've always wanted a little brother. Oh boy. Because my sister is a little help for me when I need help, but a little brother you could always tell him what's on your mind and trust him not to tell. She does not know what she's talking about.
Okay, go on.
You wouldn't even have to worry about him telling because if you get one little enough, he couldn't repeat it because he wouldn't know what you were talking about. Right now, I tell my dog my problems because I don't have a little brother, and it's getting a little boring telling my dog problems because he acts like he doesn't know what I'm talking about. Boy, I wish I had a little brother. The only problem with that is they grow up too, and their mouths grow up with them, and they...
And then they do tell. Do you want to read this one by Angela Castelli about when her mom went shopping with her?
All right. I saw a dress that was light blue and had tiny yellow, pink flowers on it. Tiny yellow and pink flowers on it. I showed it to my mom. She looked at the price tag and yelled out, $33. After she yelled, she said she wasn't going to buy me a dress that I would hardly ever wear. I kept asking and hoping she would change her mind, and she never did.
Smart mother. And here's, the kids just don't wear dresses that much. Here's one by Sheila Gaffney. It was on the 14th of August when my so bad it hurts happened. It started out being a normal day. Then later, about 3:30, my parents came to my grandmother's house for the fair they always have. You see, I was already there. When my parents drove up, I rushed out the door to greet them. They had such an odd look on their faces. "Hi, Mom," I shouted to my mother. "Hi, dear. Could we talk to you for a second?" "Where's Bandit?" I said in a frightened tone of voice. "Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Bandit ran into the back of a truck while it was backing up, and it killed him." I burst out into tears and cried, "No, it's not true." Bandit was just 7 months old when he died. His mother, Pooh, ran away from us. Ever since we lost Bandit, I've been bugging my mom to get another dog, but she always says no, and you know why. I've always had a lump in my throat whenever I remember Bandit or when I ask for another dog. I now know how another person feels when they say they want something so bad it hurts. And here's some from the fifth grade there, Mrs. Bolero's class. Tim, here's from Greg Nelson.
One Christmas I was asking everybody for a racetrack. So when I was opening a present, there it was. I couldn't believe it. When I put it together, I played with it a lot. I really liked it. The next month, I never played with it. I didn't even think it was very fun. I wish they would have bought me something else. I know that feeling.
Yeah, when it doesn't turn out. At first you like it, and then it gets dull. We've had certain toys that we would bring out only for 2 weeks during the year. Mm-hmm. Like at Christmas time, that little man on a string that runs up and down. He's a bicycler on a wheel.
I've never seen that.
No. We stretch it across the living room, and it's up for just about the 12 days of Christmas. And then the next year when it comes up, it's fresh again, and everybody enjoys it and plays with it, and then it gets put away. I think rotating toys helps mm-hmm. that boredom with them. How about reading Amanda Kimmons, too?
Okay. When I started my stamp collection, I wanted a certain stamp book. It was about 2 inches thick and came with a magnifying glass and 1,000 different kinds of stamps. I wanted it more than any other stamp book. Every day I would count my money to see if I had enough to buy one. Then one day I went to my friend's house to look at our stamps. A little while after I got there, she got a package. She knew what it was. It was the very stamp book that I wanted. I was jealous for a while, but I still helped her put some of the stamps in. That's kind of noble of her.
Riley Wheeler wrote a good long story on wanting a puppy and saving up enough money for it, only to find that the puppy's price had gone up when he was ready to buy it, so he managed to save up that much more. And then his good friend bought the dog first. I ran home and cried. The day after that, it was my birthday, and Tom had bought him for me, and I was so happy. But 4 or 5 years later, we moved. I felt like dying, but I gave him to Tom. So there's a noble one, too. And here's a couple of shorties. Penny Frischlag came close to getting a horse. Her uncle had one that she could have had, and her mother said to ask her father. And her last line here, I'm sure all you kids will recognize, and I recognize it myself from when I was a kid. The next day when I got home, I asked him. He said, maybe next year. And if I know my dad, next year I'll ask him, and he'll say, next year, year after year after year. And Brent W. said he wanted a 10-speed. I was wanting one so bad that my lungs tickled my inside almost like a roller coaster. Melissa wanted a TV for her room. She got it, she looked at it for a bit, then she didn't look at it much more, and they moved it to the den. And she says, now I feel bad because I wore them out about having it. And Ross Martin wanted a racetrack, and he said at Christmas time he snuck around the house and looked and looked and looked, but he never found it. And he didn't even want to get up on Christmas, but when he did, he found he had the racetrack under the tree. I felt so happy that I felt like $1 million. And then Tina Moore wanted a pair of gaucho boots, and when she finally got them, she said, I felt I could jump 100 feet high. Well, let's talk about wanting a little bit more, Tim. And thanks, all you Oak Grove people. I found that when I asked the adults that I teach to write on wanting, that it was pretty much the intangibles, the things that money can't buy. Mm-hmm. That when you're a little kid, you remember the and want certain things. But as you get older, you begin to realize that things, you know, you get tired of them or they're not that valuable. It's more mm-hmm. other sorts of things. One teacher wrote about that in the Depression, he kept his wants small because he found that he wouldn't get them, and when he did, they usually didn't live up to his expectations. But then when he got into high school, the things he wanted were to be better at sports and to be better looking and mm-hmm. and to have those sorts of things, yeah. to have the girls like him and to be popular and so forth. And those are hard things not to have when you want them. And another teacher with grown children was wanting one of her children, who is not very happy right now, to be happy. And that's something that is very hard for a parent to, you know, you can give little kids things. Yeah. You can scrape up the money or maybe substitute or something like that. You can't get them the horse. So many of your kids want the horse.
I wanted a horse. I still want a horse.
But it's very hard to give the intangibles, and sometimes the intangibles are what you have to get for yourself. Nobody can really make you happy. You have to learn how to be happy
you can't buy
yourself, and you can't buy it, no. I remember once I was feeling very low, and somebody said to me, well, take your wish list, that would be your want list, and do something nice for yourself. Do something on your wish list. And I got thinking, and I thought, I don't even have a wish list. You know, so busy thinking about other things and children and family and so forth, you know, what did I want for myself? So I decided, well, I'm going to have a wish list. And so I began deciding what I wanted. And some of those things were things, but some of those things were also
intangible
sorts of things, like spending time doing something, spending a certain amount of time riding the bike, for instance, just getting away from
rowing in your rower.
Rowing in the rower or so forth. Another adult wrote about when her father was ill and dying and what she wanted so bad that it hurt. Some people wrote so bad you can taste it, was to have him live until there was a family gathering where everybody from all over could get together. And the father didn't. And she's always felt bad that family gathering didn't come off. This business of getting what you want. Do you remember that old fairy tale, Tim, about the, isn't it a fish that gives the fisherman
a... The wish story? The
wish story. You can have anything you want.
Yeah. He catches the fish, and the fish says he'll give him anything he wants or something like that. And then the wife starts to ask for more and more and more.
The story I heard, they lived in a vinegar bottle for some reason.
I just heard a shack.
Anyway, she wanted new furniture, and then she wanted a bigger house, and then as soon as she got the bigger house, she wanted something more.
She wanted to be queen or something.
She wanted to be
like
queen, and then once she was queen... he kept going back to the fish and saying, you know, here's what she wants now.
Uh-huh.
And after she wanted to be queen, in my story, I think she wanted to be pope.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because that was more powerful than the queen. And so she got to be pope, and there she was. And then, do you remember what her final wish was?
She wanted to be God. That's
right. She wanted to be God himself, or itself. And she went back, he went back and told the fish, my wife wants to be God. And
everything kind of just...
Everything went back to the way it was in the first place. They were living in their vinegar bottle. One thing we haven't said anything about is that it's good to realize that other people have wants.
Yeah, that is. It's important, you know, because if you just think about yourself and what you want all the time, then you're missing out on some of the best things in life. Because you know, because it gives you a good feeling when you do things for other people.
When you're able to help them to have what they want, be it something tangible, like you can get something for your little brother or sister that they've been wanting, or if it's something intangible, you know, that the little brother or sister wants you to build something with them, which takes time and effort, or spend time playing, even though it's a baby game that you're not too enthusiastic about.
Do it
but
anyway.
To whomp up the enthusiasm and give them some time and attention. And I might say that parents like a little time and attention, too. Or if they don't act like they do, maybe they ought to. You might say, let's have a little time with you, Mom, or a little time with you, Dad. So today, I think, let's write about how it feels to want. Did you get what you wanted? And were you satisfied? Or did you find that it just made you want more, like the woman in the vinegar bottle?
The vinegar bottle, yeah.
And how about when you didn't get it? How did you feel? And when have you had a want that wasn't for something that money could buy, but was for something like strong legs, or time with your brother, or with your parents, or some other sort of intangible? So tell us today in your writing about wanting so bad that it hurts. And thanks a lot, Tim, for being with me.
Sure.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.